20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
It's Saturday morning. You got your morning coffee. Of course, it's Pack-A-Day, your 24-7, 365 day a year. And we just found out we have the third best Packers podcast right now that you can find on iTunes, Buzzsprout, and you can tweet us at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Well, this is a Saturday morning that we are not going to forget because the Packers are now done. They are in LA right now getting ready for the Rams. So who better to have you join here aside from myself, Jake Turner, and you can find me at Jake Turner Sport, or you can find my guy, 32 years in the business, and writing for BobMcGinnFootball.com, Mark Eckel. Mark, how you doing?
I'm good, Jake. I think I want to recount on that vote, though, that is third.
I agree.
After today, listen to this one today, I think we'll be first. But that's just me.
I couldn't agree more. We got a lot to get into here. So, biggest game on the schedule for the Green Bay Packers. We've been reading it all week. They've been saying this is the game we've been waiting for. So let's start off with, Mark, how do the Packers beat the Rams?
If I come up with that reason, I think Mike McCarthy should hire me as his top assistant. But that's not going to be easy, obviously. The Rams are good. Are they great? No, I can't call a team that does well in the regular season great because I think we know the Rams are going to be a playoff team unless they get like 10 guys hurt and they completely fall apart. They're going to win they're going to win that bad NFC West. I'll call it bad because it's bad. Arizona's barely an NFL team. The Niners without a quarterback, they play hard but they're not going to win it. And Seattle's kind of in that middle, I don't know what they are right now. So they're going to win the West, and they're going to be in the playoffs. But until they show me they can win playoff games, which they didn't do last year, I'm not going to say they're a great team. But they're playing well. They're scoring. Six of their seven wins, they've scored at least 33 points. That's a lot of points. They have a pretty good defense as well. I admire their coordinator, Wade Phillips, who everywhere he's gone has worked his magic and has just taken, bad defenses and made them good. He's taken average defenses and made them very good. So how are the Packers going to win this game? Hope a lot of guys on the Rams come down with food poisoning tonight, maybe. on paper, there's no way to predict the Packer win. If the Packers let's just look at the Rams' offense going against the Packers' defense.
All right.
If the Packers commit to saying, all right, we're not going to let Todd Gurley beat us, which is probably what they should do, and they bring up and they put like eight guys in the box or nine guys, if they go crazy against the run, you can do that and shut Gurley down. That's possible. But then you got to worry about the Rams' passing game, which Jared Goff, I did not think he was going to be a good pro. I did not think that was a good pick when the Rams made him the first overall pick of the draft. I thought the Eagles taking Carson Wentz at second with the second pick was a much. I thought the Rams screwed up. I thought they took the wrong guy. And they still might have. Wentz still might be better than Goff, but Goff is showing that he was worth it. Sean McVay has gotten much more out of him than the Rams' previous regime has or did. That's what I would do. I think I would make Goff beat me. It looks like one of his receivers, Cooper Kupp, is going to be out. He's listed as doubtful. Can the Packers' corners match up with the Rams' receivers? I think they can. I think Alexander can run with Cooks. Maybe beat him up a little bit. Robert Woods, who I always liked, is pretty good.
Amazing.
But I think Kevin King probably Kevin King could run with him and keep up with him. So offensively, defensively for the Packers, they have to stop Gurley though. That's not easier for me to sit here, 24 hours or more before the game and say, yeah, just stop grilling. Because, you know, that he's good. He's, I don't, for my money, he's the best back in the NFL right now. And I love Zeke Elliott. I really do. But Gurley's probably the best all-around back in the game.
Yeah, Gurley is unbelievable. He has 11 touchdowns on the year and only 686 yards. Plus, he has 3 touchdowns passing-wise. And you talk about Jared Goff, 2,130 yards, but his completion percentage is as good as Rodgers, which is 69.7% and 14 touchdowns. I want to talk about this Packers defense here for a minute, and let's start off with the secondary. So Jair Alexander is going to be activated. Looks like Breshad Breeland's going to get some reps in. This defense ranked total in passing is 3rd in the NFL right now. How in the world? And I don't know how that's even possible, but I feel like the stats are kind of misleading here. But what guy do the Packers need to watch out for the most on the passing game?
Of the receivers, you mean?
Anybody. Gurley knows how to tear it up, too.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the bigger problem. Like you said, Gurley, and why I think he's the best back in the league is because he's, I mean, just pure running, you could put a lot of guys up there. I mean, like I said, I love Zeke Elliott in Dallas, you know, but he's not nearly the receiver. He's a decent receiver. He's not nearly the receiver that Gurley is. Gurley's also a pretty good blocker. I mean, it's kind of silly to even ask him to do that, but he can. He's just a great all-around back. I mean, Woods and Cooks are good. They're good receivers. I don't think they're. I don't think either one is great. And like I said, I think the Packers can match up with them. The tight end's nothing special. But again, when losing, not having Kupp that's a loss. Don't minimize his absence in this game, because he's big. He's big and he's strong. And how many touchdowns he has? He gets in the end zone too. So I think. I mean, again, it's like pick your poison. I hate to use that cliche, but it's kind of what it is. And if I'm picking poisons, I'm picking the Gurley poison. I'm gonna do all I can to limit him. If Goff and his receivers beat me, well, they're gonna beat me. But I'm not gonna let Gurley beat me. I'm not gonna sit back in zones and cover twos and double in receivers and let the Rams let Todd Gurley run for 300 yards on, because he can do that. I mean, he's just a great, like I said, he's in my opinion the best back in the league. So I'm going to do all I can to stop him.
Oh yeah.
And if Goff beats me, he beats me. But I'm going to try to get a little pressure on Goff too. Like any quarterback, you know, you get some pressure on him, he's not the same guy.
Well, as you heard, Packer fans, Todd Gurley is the best running back in football. I agree with that. Mark believes in that as well. So let's talk about this for a minute. This Packers front seven about to have their biggest test yet. They only have 17 sacks on the year. They're going against a top-tier offensive line that has only given up 12 on the year. Who are you watching for in this front seven to try and take down Goff?
It doesn't matter who. It's got to be a team effort. I'm not looking for Nick Perry to beat him. I mean, they all have to do their job. And sometimes the guy that gets the sack isn't the guy that created the sack, as you well know. I mean, sometimes the outside guy will get the pressure to quarterback step by an interior lineman or an inside guy coming in. And again, they don't even necessarily have to have sacks per se. Just make him throw it before he wants to. Make him move around a little bit. Don't let him just sit there comfortable in the pocket and make his reads, you know, make his first, second, third read. No, don't give him that kind of time. Make him throw his first progression, or like I said, make him throw too soon. Get him moving around a little bit.
So then, Mark, so how do you attack? If you're not trying to sack him, what are you doing differently?
Well, I want to sack him. Don't get me wrong.
That's what I'm saying, though, is you're talking about how, okay, maybe not forget about the sack, so I'm asking, what else could they do? Are they going to do that kind of thing where they're trying to, you know, bat the ball down like they were trying against San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, Vic, you saw Perry do that.
Oh, jeez.
In their last game, he batted down 3 passes. A batted pass is pretty, you know, that's a good thing, too. It's not as good as a sack, but it's a good thing. My whole point is, they can't let Goff be too comfortable. Because if he gets in that comfort zone, yeah, he'll get on a roll and he'll slice him up. There's no, you know, he, We've seen him do that. Again, this is not an easy. Mike Pettine's got his hands full this week.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I still think the number one. When Mike Pettine goes to sleep tonight,
mm-hmm.
if he's having a nightmare, it's going to be about Todd Gurley. I think not Jared. Nothing taken up and away from Jared Goff. But again, like I said, if you have to pick stopping one or the other, yeah, you'd love to stop them both. But I would concentrate. I would key on Gurley. My corners have to play well tomorrow. My corners have to have their best games. Alexander, King, Jackson, Williams, if he's playing corner. Safeties have to be at the top of their game.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I'm bringing the safeties up in the box too, which I think they're better at anyway. And doing all I can to stop Gurley. So, and then, you know, let's flip it around now. This will be a good way to lead into the Packers' offense. One of the best ways to stop the Rams' offense is to keep them off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to the Packers having what I think is going to have to be a ball-controlled, balanced attack on offense.
Yep, 16th best offense in the NFL are the Packers' offense. This is Pack-A-Day, your 24/7, 365-day-a-year Pack-A-Day podcast. You can find it on iTunes, Buzzsprout, or you can tweet us at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Alongside Mark Eckel, I'm Jake Turner, and we're talking about Packers and Rams. That'll be at 3:25 p.m. Central Time on Sunday afternoon on Fox. So the Rams defense has playmakers, but they have been known to be giving up some big-time points, a lot of plays. So what aspect of offense should the Packers use against this defense first?
The one I think the Packers should use every week, and that's the quick, short passing game. You know, and that's all on Aaron Rodgers, who finally admitted himself after the San Francisco game that he needs to do that more. He can't mm-hmm. look for that big play all the time. The big play will come, but you can't come out looking at holding the ball 5-6 seconds, waiting for you know, Devontae Adams to run by his guy, or waiting for mm-hmm. Jimmy Graham to come free. No, I mean, if it happens, yes, great. Well, listen, I'm not turning down a big play, but I think the Packers' theme in this game has to be protect Rodgers, and that's going to be the interior of that Packer line, led by center Corey Lindsey, keeping Aaron Donald contained.
Oh yeah, that's the big one.
He's a good player, and Dominican Sue, you know, he's a big load in the middle there too, keeping those guys away from Rodgers. But again, that's on Rodgers now too. The line's going to do the best they can. Rodgers has to be smart enough and patient enough to just take what's there. There's nothing wrong with a 5-yard completion to whoever,
mm-hmm.
or a 6-yard completion here, and then maybe get lucky and the guy breaks a tackle and a 5 or 6 splinters into a 16 or 17 yard gain. That happens. We've seen that happen a lot. So take the gains, take positive yards, 5 yards, 6 yards, 7 yards. Move the chains, as they say, you know, and more importantly, let Todd Gurley be a spectator. Keep him on the sidelines with his helmet in his hand watching. Because the less he's on the field, the better it is that the Packers can pull off this upset.
What does Geronimo Allison and Randall Cobb's health mean to the team?
Oh, wow. I mean, that's two starters. It also means that you got to – in their absence, I think you saw – you know, Marcus Valdez-Scantling, and I will use his full name now since he's earned the right to be called his full name instead of just MVS. He's become a pretty good player. I mean, you saw that he's a playmaker. He mm-hmm. can do some things for you. And St. Brown as well made a great catch in the 49er game.
Yep.
And, you know, again, I don't think he's the explosive playmaker that Valdez-Scantling is, but I think I think you'll see him developing into a good possession receiver that, you know, that can do some things for you too. So now the Packers wide receiver, I think the Packers have learned that they have a pretty good wealth of talent at wide receiver. But, you know, with Devontae Adams, who's clearly one of the top, I don't know, whatever, top 5, top 10 receivers in football right now.
Top 10 at least, yeah.
Without a doubt, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have a Cobb, you have Allison, and you have the two rookies, and a pretty good tight end and Jimmy Graham. So the Packers are okay. Their passing game is fine. I think they'll score points on the Rams. Like you said, the Rams, but you got to block them. You have to block. Mm-hmm. The Rams up front are very good. Their secondary, you could exploit them.
Okay. So what does Jimmy Graham's emergence bring?
Another weapon. You can never have too many weapons, and that's another guy that the defense. You can't double team everybody if you're like I said. Mike Pettin has to pick something that, you know, he has to either decide we're going to stop Gurley or we're going to let Gurley run and shut down their passing attack. Well, Wade Phillips has to do the same thing. He's got to decide, are we going to double Devontae Adams? Are we going to use a linebacker and a safety on Jimmy Graham? Are we going to do that, both of that, and then leave, you know, Cobb-Bimes? There's only so many things you can do defensively. Mm-hmm. Are we going to blitz Rodgers and try to get him off his game and take the chance that we are leaving guys open, and if they pick up the blitz, we're susceptible to a big play, or are we going to drop more guys in coverage and let? I mean, these are all the chess. This is what I love about football, is the chess game that kind of goes on between the two coaching staffs during the course of the game. So again. If I'm the Packers, if I'm Mike McCarthy and Joe Philbin, and I'm putting together my offensive game plan, it starts with short, quick passing, and then mixing in some runs as well, and keeping. I want to score, obviously, but I'd prefer a 12 play, 75 yard, 8 minute and 30 second drive than a 2 play. 75 with a 65-yard touchdown pass from Rodgers to Adams. Don't get me wrong; I'm not gonna give that 65-yard touchdown pass back. But I'd rather the Packers hold the ball, play, you know, grind it out, keep Todd Gurley, make him a spectator as much as you can.
So all right, so talk about the Packers running game. How do you use it against this defense?
Not as much as Packer fans want it, I think, because the Rams are pretty good up front. You know, again, you can't be one-dimensional, so you have to run the ball. But and I've said this every week we've been on, Jake, I say, you know, as long as Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback, you're going to be a pass-first team. You're never going to become a run-oriented team because that's stupid. You're not paying the guy all that money to hand the ball off. You're paying him to throw it. So... But you got to run. They're going to run the ball. I mean, I expect Aaron Jones to get, you know, I hope 10 carries. Williams to get some. I don't care if Montgomery gets any or not, to be honest with you.
Thank you.
I'd rather him catch a few. I'd rather him catch those 5-6 yard passes and maybe break one out, you know.
How many carries should Jones get?
Well, it depends how the game goes. I mean, if they're winning, obviously more, because then I want to use the clock even more to my favor. But if they fall behind, you know, 14-0 in the first quarter, 21-3 in the second, then, you know, the running game goes out the window. That's what's happened to the Packers too many times this year. And that's, fans are fans, and I understand that they're frustrated and stuff. But, you know, you can't run when you're down. I mean, you can, but the defense will say, fine, run all you want. We're up 21-0. You know, hopefully that doesn't happen, that the Packers can stay in the game and they can keep it balanced. So in a close game, if you're telling me it's going to be a back-and-forth close battle, I'd like to see Jones get between 10 and 15 carries.
What would a win mean to the Packers' season going forward?
I mean, in terms of the standings, it would keep them on pace. Be, you know, with the Vikings and the Bears, and not only, I mean, this is a lot. This division, it just might be the best division in football, Jake. I mean, I mean, really, it's definitely better than the East and the West. The South, the NFC South isn't bad either.
No, obviously. It's not.
If the Falcons are right, if they're not any good, then I think the North might be better. And looking at the AFC. It's certainly better than the East and the West there. And I don't know. Bills are better than Pittsburgh and them? Probably.
What does a loss do?
Well, again, a loss. I don't think. See, again, it's too early in the season, even though we're in the middle, to say it's a must win by any chance. Or, I mean, if the Packers win, I think what it does, not only in terms of the standings, but I think it's a confidence win. Mm-hmm. It's a wow, we just beat the last undefeated team in football. So we, in their minds, that they go out saying, we can beat anybody. We beat the Rams in L.A. We can beat. Who can't we beat? And you know, we're a 9.5-point underdog, and we beat and we won. We can beat New England in New England. We could beat Seattle in Seattle because we just beat the Rams in L.A. So, what can't we do? Now, a loss. What kind of loss? If they lose,
I would
it's
say
a
blowout.
Game.
If the Packers got blown out, what would that do?
Because if it's 41-14, no, okay. Then it's back to the drawing board. Then it's what are we? Where are we? How good are we? We obviously can't compete with the best team in the NFC. So even if we do find a way to win 9 or 10 games and sneak in as a wild card, so what? Is that our? You know, we're obviously what everybody points.
It just
less
shows.
Than the Rams.
Yeah, it just shows how low the totem pole is right now. So the next four games for the Packers.
But a close loss, game,
okay.
Back and forth, and the Packers take the lead in the last minute, and Goff or Gurley bring them down the field, and the Rams win on the last second field goal or something. Mm-hmm. Hey, you stood toe to toe with the undefeated team. So, on the road. Although I wonder, and you might know this as well as I do, or even more, more so. What kind of crowd do you expect in L.A.? How much green and gold do we expect to see in the stands?
Well, I mean, it's 100,000 capacity, so I wouldn't doubt if there's at least 40,000 green and gold and 60,000 Rams. Because the Packers are in the top five when it comes to loyal fan bases. They're just like Cowboy fans. They'll fly anywhere, drive anywhere, and they will invade with their green and gold and cheese heads and all that. And this is a big game. And any Packer fan you talk to, they would live and die to get to Los Angeles and be able to be in this big Coliseum that is known as one of the biggest wonders of the last 70 years. If I got that correct, I apologize. If I didn't, But it's true. I mean, this is the biggest game on their schedule so far.
I don't think it's a big home field advantage for the Rams.
No, it's not. It's not because... the capacity is not strong enough. It's not like Packer fans where they, stack the Lambeau Field and average like 75,000 to 77,000 people. It's not like that in L.A.
Right.
They're far different. They're still a little iffy on this team. And besides, the Los Angeles Lakers just started their NBA season, so now they're all Laker.
And the Dodgers are the World Series.
And Dodgers, yes. It's Lakers, Dodgers, Rams right now. So I would not be a bit surprised if I saw Packer fans by the thousands stacking
will
it up at Los Angeles.
Will we, not visibly, but audibly hear Go Pack Go on TV, watching the game at home on TV Sunday afternoon, will we hear chants of Go Pack Go?
Oh, definitely. Oh,
yeah.
Definitely. There
I
will
think so
be.
Too.
If the Packers are leading or if Rodgers is going down the field with like a minute left on the clock or something, and he's about to try and pull off the game winner. Yeah, you're gonna hear that Go Pack Go sign. Speaking about Go Pack Go, the next four games after the Rams, at Patriots versus Dolphins, at Seattle on Thursday night, at Vikings. What does the record of the Packers have to be before they take on Arizona?
My first thought is, hey, thank you, schedule maker. What the hell? The Bear fan making a schedule? I mean, really? That's pretty wild. And
yeah.
I mean, first of all, it's really unfair. And I traveled for 32 years covering the Philadelphia Eagles, which is more travel than being on one side of the coast. Because you're always going kind of far. Travel takes a lot out of you. It really does. I mean, I know, like, when a team plays two or three games in a row on the road, like, I was tired, and I wasn't playing. I was just traveling, So fans underestimate what travel does to a team. And to make the Packers go to the West Coast, I don't care who you're playing. I mean, that doesn't, because they, when the schedule makers make their schedule, they don't know who's going to be good and bad mm-hmm. sometimes. So, you know, but so I was kind of joking about that. But to make a team go all the way to L.A.,
mm-hmm.
come back, then turn around and go the other way,
mm-hmm.
no, that's unfair, really, to be honest. And then they play, then Miami at home, okay, right, now they should take care of business there. Then it's, who's that? And then it's Seattle on a short week, right?
Yep, Thursday night.
That's not fair. See, all right, can I go on a little rant about Thursday night?
Well, actually, before you go to Thursday night, Mark, tell the audience, where was the one place you did not want to go when you were writing for the Eagles when it came to traveling?
I didn't really, to be honest, I didn't care.
Oh,
Buffalo
okay.
in the winter, maybe? I don't know.
Okay, I just wanted to check. All right, now go
I
ahead.
Mean, I mean, my own personal preferences were like, I didn't care. I mean, I like to play. Like, I loved going to Green Bay, obviously, but I didn't tell people that out loud back then because, you know. But I think some of the other writers were like, oh, we got to go to Green Bay, and to myself, I was like, yeah, we're going to Green Bay. Buffalo in the winter wasn't a good trip. I think the trip I despised the most as a writer traveling back was going down to Washington.
Hmm.
Even though it was close, but it wasn't close, and it was, and because you had to drive, you drove instead of flying. And driving, if you've ever driven in Washington, you know what I'm talking about. It's not easy, and it was kind of a pain. And that's the worst state of the. I've been to all 32 cities, but I haven't been to all mm-hmm. 32 stadiums because some stadiums are newer than the Eagles just didn't play there while I was covering them. That is my least favorite of all the stadiums that I've been to. This is an awful place. What do they call it? FedEx Field. It's bad.
So speaking anyway, about your least favorite, you were talking about Thursday Night Football. What's wrong with that?
If I was in charge,
okay,
and I'm not anti Thursday Night Football like a lot of people are. I think it's a nice idea, and I understand why they do it. They make a lot of money. It's mm-hmm. TV ratings and all this kind of stuff. But I would only have. I would make it, like I just said, the Eagles used to drive to Washington. That's who I would put on Thursday Night Football. I would never make a Green Bay fly to Seattle for a Thursday Night game, or a Seattle fly to Green Bay for a Thursday Night game, for that matter. I would make it Baltimore versus Washington. I'd make it the Jets versus the Giants. I'd make it the Eagles versus the Giants. I'd make it Green Bay, Chicago. I'd make it Rams, Chargers, or 49ers, Raiders, mm-hmm. where the team, it's a short week as it is, make them where they can, it's only a little, either a real short flight or a drive. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I would do. And I think, and they started doing it a little bit this year, if you notice. But now, they Green Bay has to go all the way to Seattle for a Thursday night game. Again, not easy. Not an easy trip. And even if Seattle wasn't good, it's still not an easy trip.
No, it's not, because of the Fail Mary, and then, of course, Brandon Bostic choking on the kickoff return and being up 16-0. It's a house of horrors for the Packers. I mean, flat out. I'm just going to say.
But in spite of all that, it's the fact that it's far away.
That's also true, because the Minnesota Vikings, who they'll take on the following week at Minnesota, they had to fly all the way to Los Angeles for Thursday Night Football, and we all know how that went down.
Right.
So... Oh, good call there. All right, final question. Who wins this game and why?
I'd love to sit here and tell you
The
Packer defense is going to come out and play great, and Rodgers is going to have an MVP kind of game, and the Packers are going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to say that. And deep down, you know, but again, I can't be a flat-out homer, and I got to be realistic and say I think the Packers are going to play well. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I think with a week off, Mike McCarthy's 9-3 in his career, in his 12 years as head coach. He's 9-3 the week after a bye, which is a pretty good mark, and credit to him for that. The Packers as a team were 16-6 the last 22 years the week after a bye. So they do something during that bye week. That helps, obviously. So I think they will. I think the defense will play one of its better games.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll be inspired. They'll be fired up. They'll play well.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, you know, to say that they're going to beat the Rams on the road, it's hard to say that. I think it's going to be a good game, a close game. I think the Rams win by a touchdown or less. 6-point game, 4-point game.
Okay. You got a score?
28-24.
20-24. Okay, I like that. All right, I will. I'm going to take the Los Angeles Rams in a close one. I think Jared Goff will find a way, or Todd Gurley set it up for their kicker, whoever it is nowadays, and he'll nail the game-winning kick. But
okay, if, you got it close too.
But if you see Aaron Rodgers with 2 minutes left in the game, and the Packers are only down by 4 or 5 points.
Oh,
Packers
I'll take
will
that.
Have
I'll
their best
right
chance
now. Let me sign that up right now for that.
Oh, and I think any Packer fan would. See, well, we're trying to create some optimism here as well. But, I mean, the fact is that even if they lose to the Rams, it's not the end of the world. Now, if they lose to teams like the Patriots or Seattle or the Vikings, then that's when you can start pulling the panic button. But, look, two weeks off, they're ready to go. Rodgers is at his healthiest. Let's see what this true Packers team looks like now.
I never
forward.
Answered your one question. You asked me what the Packer after this treacherous, whatever.
Yeah,
what
go
I
ahead.
Call
final
five
thoughts.
Games. What do they have to be? I think they got it. What are they? They're 3-2-1 now. I think they got if they're 5-5-1.
Okay.
That would be with how many games? That would be with five games left, right?
Yes.
If they're 5-5-1, if people I know how Packer fans are, they're going to be. They're not going to be happy. They'll be panicking. But nope. They can win the last five.
Oh, yeah. They got Arizona and Atlanta at Green Bay. We know how bad Atlanta plays on the road. At Chicago.
Yeah,
at the Jets. And then the Lions.
At home.
The Lions won't be easy, though, because they just brought in Damon Snacks right? Harrison now.
But it's in Green Bay.
That's true. That's also true.
They could, to borrow Aaron Rodgers' line, those last five games, they could run the table.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're 5-5-1, they can get to 10-5-1, which I think could win a division. It'll at least be a wild card, 10-5-1.
Mark, as usual, great stuff. So you'll go
with
the Rams.
I just hope they get to 5-5-1.
No, go ahead.
I just hope they can. I said, no, I'm saying I hope they can get to 5-5-1.
Yeah.
With these next five games.
It's going to be interesting now because this is when the true Green Bay Packers team is going to rise up or they're going to fall on their face. We'll find out. Per usual, Mark Eckel, 32 years in the business, writer for BobAgainFootball.com. We'll see you in 2 weeks, Mark.
All right. Take care, Jake.
All right. Well, that was Mark Eckel. And per usual, the guy just brings it all the time. I always have such a great time doing this. So don't forget, you can tweet us at Packaday Podcast. You can find this podcast. If you miss this any time, day or night, morning coffee, afternoon lunch, and you just want that Packer fever in there, go to iTunes, Buzzsprout, Google Play. It's there. And then we also have it on our Packaday Podcast Twitter page anytime, day or night. Andy Herman at Cheesehead TV has done an amazing job. We're also very happy with the news that Power Sweep reported and the Pulse of the Packers podcast. Third best Packers podcast. Only been doing this for 3 months. Just getting warmed up. So special thanks to Andy Herman. Just continuing to give, you know, me and Mark Eckel this platform to work off of. But we'll find out. Packers Rams, 3:25 p.m. Central Time on Fox on Sunday. Be ready for this. It's going to be a good one. And that being said, it's time to say goodbye here. So for Mark, for Jake Turner, this has been your 24/7, 365 day a year Packer podcast, Pack-a-Day. And as usual, go Pack go. We'll see you next time.
Third and six, trailing 30-23, 2 minutes straight up to go in the game. San Francisco showing a blitz through the A-gap, and here they come. Rodgers looking. Throws left side of the end zone.
Yes! Yes! Devontae Adams! Left corner of the end zone from Aaron Rodgers! 16-yard touchdown pass. The Packers an extra point away from getting this game tied.
Beathard on third down and three in the shotgun. Football to the 46 at Green Bay. Packers showing a blitz, and here they come. Beathard looking, hit as he throws it. Deep down the right sideline. And intercepted on the play. Spectacular interception by Kevin King at the 9-yard line of Green Bay.
Snap to Rodgers looking right. Throws the right side. St. Brown makes the tackle.
Nice reach.
Oh, he reached back to gather it in. Using all 6'5 of his frame. Tumbled out of bounds. Inside the 30 of the 28-yard line.
Snap to Rodgers. Looking downfield. Throws the left side.
Devontae's got it. Out of bounds. Inside the 10-yard line. My goodness, what a throw and catch. Again, they beat Maven down the left sideline.
Hunter Bradley the snap. J.K. Scott down on one knee. Arm extended. Here it is. Placement made. Kick is up. It is good.
It is good.
Mason Crosby delivers a dagger. One week after his worst day ever, he delivers the dagger tonight. And the Packers win 33-30.